I know I'm the cold one. Was sleeping then, but now I have awoken.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Wheel It podcast. In case you guys have forgotten, my name's Carl.
And I'm Lammy.
I guess this week is going to be a less heavy episode. We don't have 5 albums to kind of go through on this occasion, but we still do have good content for you guys. But before we get into it, how has your week been, Lammy?
Well, it's only Wednesday and my week's been a lot.
Yeah.
I've just been working. Work's been cool. I had a doctor's appointment this morning and found out about something that I suspected, but all is well.
Gosh, all is well. Gotta claim it, those kind of things. Yeah. All is well.
All is well. It's not something serious, but yeah.
Fair.
It's of something course. I know about now. How about you?
Hopefully the second half of your week will be better than the first half.
Amen.
My week's been relatively chill, to be fair. I've been at home. I'm not a bum, by the way. I'm at home on purpose. Home with purpose. I've been at home, to be honest, enjoying my time to myself, by myself. At the next stage of life, I guess I'm going to be, it's a more permanent stage. So before I jump into that, I kind of want to just make sure I'm ready for that and just take my time with it and everything. Mm. Making the right decisions. So I've been pretty chill.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah.
So this week we are talking about UK music.
Indeed.
And the UK music scene. We're bringing it home. So what's been happening right now?
I guess the most recent event that we've had is probably Jay Huss getting arrested at first. And then we've now found out that he's not going to get bail. And not only that, he's actually going to have to serve some jail time, which is kind of sad because I feel like he had some great momentum behind him. And I feel like he was in the process of recording a new album. I was told that he had a knife on him when he was back in the ends, which is annoying because on one hand, he's an artist who's, you know, somewhat blown up. So really and truly, he shouldn't really be carrying a knife. And I mean, I don't want to say you shouldn't be on ends, but if you are on ends, don't just be hanging around or posted on a block like a lowlife, in his words. You kind of have to maybe be going to visit a mum or a friend or something.
So yeah, he really did blow up from the ends, though. So yeah. He's still very much in that transitional phase, I suppose. Yeah, hood mentality whereby he's sticking to his roots. Mm. And I think maybe that's what gives him the inspiration that he needs with the music. But yeah,
it's tough. He's got to break out of it. Because if he still kind of chills in the hood, this is exactly what's going to happen. Like, people they know he's rich now, he's up. So they're going to want to test him. And because of that, he knows he's obviously going to have to carry some sort of protection on him, or at least the people around him are going to. So just in order to not put yourself in that position and not kind of jeopardize your friends either, just, I'm not saying stay out of the hood, but just move a bit wiser. But
people have really been on him from day, to be honest.
He got stabbed in his leg a few years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
There's a feud between, I think he's from Stratford, and Canning Town Boys. I don't know what that's about. It's not really our business, but there is a long-standing
feud. It's
not
our business.
Yeah, I don't even want to inherit any of that. So, yeah, they have some sort of beef, and like, it's gone back and forth. I think this is the second or third time he's actually been nicked, not only for a weapon, but for other things or whatever. But, yeah, man, it's a bit sad, but free Huss ASAP. I feel like when he comes out and his album drops, everyone's going to be on that. It seems to kind of, not immortalize, but it makes people... It puts people on a pedestal when they seem to go to jail and then come out and release music. So,
What did you think of the quick 2-track thing that he dropped a while ago?
Big Spang EP.
Yeah.
That's why I was actually quite upset, because I actually really liked the Big Spang EP. Mm. It was only 3 songs, but like, I feel like all 3 songs were 10 out of 10, to be honest. Gave me different vibes. But it was a bit like a teaser, a kind of warm up to what was to come. And I'd never actually been excited for a Jay Huss album, because although when he dropped Common Sense, it was his first album, I was like, I don't really know what I'm going to get.
We don't know what we're going to get.
But now he set the standard and he put out that little EP. It was a bit like, all right, cool, I'm ready for another Huss album. But I don't think we're going to get one for a while, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember sometime last year, I read an interview with him in one of those free mags you get, like, on the tube. Mm. In the shortlist, I believe. And the journalist did a really great job, like, gave a really nice insight into who Jay Huss was as a person. And, like... it was really endearing to read that interview. So if I don't know if you can maybe find that online, guys, but I would suggest you check that out. Any new releases?
There's actually been two. So Notes just dropped Take Notes 2 on the label Relentless. And I've recently heard that Young Bane and D-Block Europe actually dropped a joint project. I haven't got around to listening to... I was listening to a bit of it on the way here, to be fair. And it sounded cool, but I need to probably digest it properly. But I had listened to Notes' thing two or three times. And I can't lie, not that I was impressed, but it was better than I thought, kind of thing. I'd previously kind of on the standpoint that artists like Notes, I probably don't want to hear an album or 10 or 11, 12 song album from. And I probably still am of that opinion, but like it shows me that he could probably do something good. I mean, the album, it's not even an album for one, it's a mixtape. It had his typical kind of bangers, his nice stuff, but then there was a few tracks where I thought were quite weak. But overall, it was actually quite decent, to be fair. Have you listened to it at all? Or
I haven't.
Yeah.
And it's on the list to listen to. But like you mentioned, I don't have expectations. I don't want to say I don't have many expectations. I just have no expectations because all Notes has given us so far is just single after single.
Exactly.
And they've banged. But a full-bodied album, I'm not too sure what to expect, really.
Yeah.
But I think he's a solid artist, though I do have the opinion that he is a bit of an industry plant, but that's fine. And I think he can probably deliver us something nice for the meantime. I don't think it will stand the test of time, per se, but...
So what's the point, right?
Yeah.
You're not dropping something that's going to last, then what's the point? But yeah, the whole industry plant thing, I kind of saw it on this tape. I mean, there was one beat that was actually made by Fraser T. Smith, and that's usually who the labels draft in to deal with black artists when they, you know, make projects. I think Kano's worked with him, Stormzy worked with him. So in that sense, the people that they're drafted in to make beats for him and stuff, I guess they're of that kind of ilk. But in terms of his content, it impressed me. To be fair, I wasn't sure whether to categorize Notes as a rapper or a singer or like a hybrid of both. I think I saw an interview with another UK artist called 23 or 23, who's good friends with Notes, and they say that when they're in a studio together, Notes, the first thing on his mind is actually to think of a melody before he thinks of lyrics or anything. So from that, I took that he's predominantly a singer. But listening to the album, he can actually string two bars together. He's obviously not going to be the most deep or intellectual rapper, but he's got a bit about him, to be fair, and I guess that's why the industry has taken a liking to him.
Yeah.
But maybe so much so that they've made him into their own product kind of thing. And it feels less organic and less kind of real.
So with that being said, the little we've heard from him, do you think this project is reflective of the UK music scene right now?
Do you know what? Quite so, because obviously right now the predominant sound is Afro Swing. And I know a lot of these artists don't actually like the term Afro Swing because they feel like it boxes them or it doesn't correctly categorize them. But we listeners, we like to put things in boxes just for our own ease. So for that purpose, I'm just going to say Afro Swing. The album is very heavily Afro Swing. He even has a song on there that's an ode to his heritage. I think it's called Nigerian Eagle or something like that. But the sound is very UK sound at the moment. Afro beats inspired, but UK lingo, UK content kind of thing. With that being said, with the Afro Swing kind of vibe, how do you feel about it? Are you a fan, or you're waiting for the next wave, or?
You know, I feel like a lot of these Afrobeats, like these Afro Swing influenced sounds, are quite recycled, but I'm not mad at that. And I think it puts a lot of UK artists in a box whereby they're jumping on the current sound and they don't really want to deviate from that. And that lack of originality kind of, it's not inspiring, and it doesn't inspire me to listen to the latest Notes project or whoever's about to drop.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately what it does for me. But
is that sad though? The fact that we anticipate albums coming from overseas, but our own projects, we don't really, as good as they are, and like however many bangers they drop, we just don't really care for an album from them. Like,
yeah.
Is that an issue?
I mean, what I will say is I do enjoy the fact that a lot of Black British artists are actually embracing and celebrating our African heritage and like the Afrobeat sound, like, yeah, this is what's reigning now. Everyone in England and Britain is enjoying our sound, and that's what we've come from. So I do appreciate that. It's like a small celebration, but at the same time, there's a lack of originality about it that I'm just not sure about.
I feel like the UK struggles with originality. I feel like in moments where we have had originality, for example, grime, funky house, garage, jungle, those kind of genres, they kind of came in and then they went. I feel like the UK public doesn't really, I mean, they scream, oh, bring back funky, oh, bring back this, that and the other. But if an artist actually does make a tune along those lines, it probably won't do that well, and people just show that they don't really care for it. So it's like, okay, yeah, it's not original, the current sound, but when we have had original sounds, the public haven't really kind of gravitated towards it, which begs the question, like, okay, if there's a lack of originality, with the UK music scene, is it the fault of then the artist, or is it the fault of the public, or whose fault do you reckon it is?
It's difficult because I feel there is talent, and I feel like there are UK artists willing to create their own sound and be original, but people just aren't checking for it. And I'm sure that it's because of the music business isn't tapping into those kind of original artists. It's not the artists, it's not the consumers, it's the machine, it's the music business,
and the labels and the executives.
Unfortunately, America is light years ahead of us in terms of music business, but a lot of what we deal with here is like subsidiaries of the music business in America. So like Sony, UMG, all those big labels. But they don't know the market, and they don't know the ground, the UK ground, well enough. And I feel like that's what's the case here.
And I feel like that's kind of made them have a kind of formulaic approach to UK music. And it's kind of evidenced in the kind of people that have been signed recently. Like the, actually I won't mention names, but like, I'm sure you guys will know, but like certain people who have signed, and it's like they make a one tune and then they've been signed, but then all their tunes sound the same. It's like they say this sound plus these lyrics plus this content equals a hit. And it's kind of saturated the market. And don't get me wrong, 5-10 years ago, we wouldn't have Young Black Boys chart topping. So part of me is here for it. I'm like, listen,
that's worth celebrating.
Go get your bread, like start charting. But another part of me is like, I wish that when it's our time to shine, when it's our time to have a seat at the table, it's good music we're known for. Like, and I feel like it's not representative of the talent we have and representative of the range of kind of music that comes from Young Black Britain. Right now, it sounds very much like the music is being made for young teenage white girls, to be fair. I always use this phrase, but like, it's those kind of people I see kind of vibing out and like listening to this kind of music, not people like you and I who have actually seen the scene come from the bottom. Like, for example, seen the scene, and we've kind of got introduced to the scene halfway through, because before we were really into music, our age group, there was like jungle and garage and funky, that, which I feel like it's like, and funky, like I feel like we just missed that wave.
Definitely.
But for example, we kind of got introduced to the UK music scene around maybe Chipmunk, Who Are You times, kind of around them, like 06, 07, 08 times, just when we entered, I'm not going to put a date on us,
a certain stage of
our lives.
Yes, education.
Damn, I've just aged us, my bad. And I've lost my point. It's a shame because, the people like us who kind of have seen the music scene grow from Chipmunk's Who Are You to now we're chart topping, now we're being signed, now, like, you know, we're, you know, doing these things. I feel like when we have now got to this position where we're, you know, dominant, the music should be made to please us who've been with it, who was around in Channel U days, who were sending music to each other through Bluetooth. Was it Bluetooth? What was it?
Bluetooth. Yeah.
You put the phones near each other, you can't go too far away or otherwise it will cut off. Like, I feel like the music now that we're hearing, it should be made for us and kind of our generation. But unfortunately, because there's so much money in it, the focus has kind of moved away from the people who helped build the scene, the listeners who helped build the scene. And now it's just made for a bunch of teenage white girls.
Fair point.
Which sucks.
And what do you think of the comments around the recent releases by, well, not releases, but help by artists like Drake, who have helped to save the UK music scene, as some people have claimed.
My opinion on Drake's involvement in the UK. I feel like at first I was unsure of his sincerity. Do you know what? I still am unsure of his sincerity, because I remember the first time he kind of, I'm in two minds. The first time publicly he showed kind of affection for the UK scene, I remember it was when he came here for his Take Here tour in 2011, and he was bigging up Sneakbo and everything, and he said that a lot of his sounds. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was 2011. That was 7 years ago, to be fair. Mm. However, being a Drake fan, I've heard him reference people like Shola Armour in his music, like in Comeback Season, one of his first mixtapes. So I have known that he has actually been listening to the UK music, but it just seems that the time that he's now kind of publicly come forward with it coincides with the time where the scene is healthy, the scene is thriving. We almost don't need, no, we don't need his cosign, to be honest. But the fact that, you know, at first it was Sneakbo he's co-signed, then he disappeared for a while, then he came back and he co-signed Section Boys, then he co-signed Skepta, then he co-signed Giggs. Now his current wave is Giggs. He's got, at first, he had a BBK tattoo on his arm. Then at Wireless recently, he was screaming SN1. Like, not to say you can't, like, you know, you'd be like heavily involved with both of them, but to put ink on your body about BBK and that, and then... I didn't really see him the last time he's in the UK. I didn't really see him with Skepta. They might have linked up, but like...
Do you know what? Drake's a bit mad, because did you catch that whole conspiracy theory about he like copied the whole Craig David sound?
He has said in the past that he was a big fan of Craig David.
Yeah, when I saw that, that blew my mind, because he even looked like there was a certain period where he tailored his look exactly what Craig David looked like in his peak. But yeah, that was crazy. And also, did you hear... about the tattoo thing, he has a tattoo of 11, which it was apparently inspired by Georgia Smith.
Oh really?
Yeah. Mad.
I've actually heard mumblings that what's the song,
Jaded
was about Georgia. Do you know what, I heard it on I heard two different people. I heard Joe Budden say it, and I heard Chucky say it. These are two different podcasts.
Yeah.
And
when they were
saying it, I was like, I'm not quite sure if I'm on this wave. Like, I'm not sure if it just didn't seem like anything was concrete enough. I just can't see Drake and Georgia Smith ever have kind of done a thing. I guess they did do music together, right?
Yeah.
But like,
I'm not going to lie, I listened to Joe Budden's take on it and I thought, wow, he's really, like, he spilled the tea, basically.
He does that. He goes on to his rants and then he's like, he must know something we don't. When he speaks, he's like, he knows some industry stuff. I can't imagine Drake whining on a track about how Georgia Smith used him and then left him, and then I just...
Boy.
Drake doesn't seem, he seems too savvy with the women. Like, in his music, he seems to kind of always be on top of the women. Obviously, not anymore, because...
Oh, no, Drake's moist.
He's got a ute now and everything, so clearly he's
Drake
all on top of him.
Drake is definitely moist, I think. I mean, we love him for it, so...
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know about the whole Georgia Smith thing. Like, I just can't see it. I don't know. I just can't see it. But he did say in his I think the last track on his album, that he got this 11 tattooed for someone else. And now it's going to be an honorary son. So
that 11 was supposedly for Georgia, who apparently has some affinity with the number 11.
Number 11, or something like that.
So
if he did that, that's so wet, because they couldn't have been together for long enough for him to be putting ink on his body for a favorite number. And that's but back onto Drake and the UK music scene. I mean, yeah, like I said, he has kind of, you know, told us in his music anyway that he's been a fan of like people like Shola Armour and Craig David. But like his public kind of cosigns, they just seem to be like too well timed, too strategic kind of thing. I don't know. And it makes me think, is this sincere? Is it genuine? Or is he just kind of riding the wave that we have over here? Because we do have a really strong wave that, and I feel like for the first time in a long time, we in the UK, we don't care. Not that we don't care about the American music scene, but like, we don't care what they think about our scene. We're very much like, listen, we've got our scene, it's popping, like, you know, we like it, so F you. And that kind of comes out in the Drake and Giggs song KMT, which, by the way, I really don't like. And everyone goes mad for the Giggs verse, but I really feel like that's one of the worst verses on the album, but that's neither here or there. I don't want to offend anybody. But America were like, oh, this Giggs verse is rubbish. And then the UK fans, a week later, I saw a video of them in the rave and they were singing it word for word, going crazy. I was like, rah, the UK scene is healthy, like, this is sick.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I guess what Drake has kind of put on by, I guess, putting on Georgia on his album, putting gigs on his album and everything. Doing a has he done a song with Skepta? No, he done a song with Wizkid, but Skepta was featured. The Ojolegba remix.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago. That.
Yeah.
I mean, Skepta was on More Life with the Skepta interlude.
But I feel like that's one of my favourite songs in the album as
that
well.
Is so hard.
That was so hard.
I love that song.
I feel it was hard. Like,
Skepta went in, but that didn't actually feature Drake. But that's actually a good thing because it gave Skepta a little time to shine, and it was like, here, have your
shine,
moment.
To shine. Where to Skepta ASAP. Sorry. As you were, what are you saying?
Yeah,
gave him time
to
shine. To be fair, I like that as well. Part of me kind of thinks it's somewhat also genuine because it's sustained. All right, cool. He dips in and out and he kind of has his moments, but like he always comes back to the UK to show love and everything. And that's recently in his he done a Link Up TV Behind Bars and he's done a Fire in a Booth. Did you listen to either of them?
Yeah, I did listen to the Fire in a Booth. No, the Link Up one. And that was very tailored to the UK sound, don't
very,
you think?
Very, very,
yeah,
very.
To the extent where people back home in America and Canada will be like, what the hell is this?
They just wrote it off. They're like, oh, that's for the UK guys. Mm. Like, they didn't. But
he didn't even have to do that.
Do you know what? When I, because they posted a picture of the mic stand, right? And then Drake or whatever. And so I was like, oh, bro, okay, cool. In my mind, I was like, I know you're on the UK platform, but just do you and do you well. Like, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And then hearing it, he very much borrowed like the heady one, kind of low ski, kind of drill, kind of flow. And I was like, it's cool to hear someone else kind of, I mean, imitation is the biggest form of flattery, right? But it in his accent and like, I was just like, oh, Drake, stop. Like, I'd rather him kind of go over a slow tempo beat and kind of vent kind of thing. Like, but he came over here and kind of wanted to just copy. And then the Fire in the Booth as well. Apparently, I found out that he was super drunk. Apparently, they were actually in a club together, him and Charlie Sloth, and they left the club. Charlie was like, do you want to do something? So they opened the Radio 1 station thingy at like 2-3 in the morning to quickly do that. So I'll pardon him for being waved because I feel like he was so offbeat. so offbeat. And I thought it was just me. I was like, is it my headphones? I took my headphones out, played it out on my phone. I was like, nah, he's just not flowing right. But again, it was cool. How much did it really do for the UK scene? I don't think much.
It came and went, I guess.
I think I listened to it maybe twice, and I ain't listened to it since. It hasn't really put us on overseas because people overseas are just like, and then us guys over here, we're a bit like, it's cool, but I feel like people over here have had enough of Drake kind of coming in and out and just, I feel like, thanks, Drake. It's enough. Like, it's cool. You co-signed us and you're with us and that. But just admire it like the rest of us and just be a fan of the music and just listen. Like, you know.
And before we move on, because I know people are gonna ask, what did you think about Scorpion? Scorpion was good. Okay, it was good, and that's all we're gonna say about it.
Full stop.
Moving on. So, what about the future of the UK music scene?
It's hard to tell. Like we said, it floats in and out of waves and phases.
Yeah, all these different scenes,
It's hard to tell, honestly. And it may even be that this current wave, we're going to ride it. Because I feel like we've been in this current wave longer than we were. You know, the wave before was like Grimes coming back and kind of like that Konnichiwa kind of that era. But that kind of came and went quicker than this kind of era has been in place for now.
Yeah, this Afro Swing has been here for a while.
Yeah. What I'm hoping is that maybe Afro Swing can stay. But then we have pockets of different subgenres all around at the same time that can all thrive
that would be
at
healthy,
the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, because London is so small, it's like only one thing can shine at a time. Mm. Only one sound can shine at a time. Only one group of artists can shine at a time. And I guess it's because it is a small country, or even it's a small city, because they don't really accept people from outside London.
Yeah. Apart from Georgia Smith Hall.
I guess. She's from like Walsall as well. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
London.
I guess Mist as well. But
Bugsy Malone, I don't know.
If you know someone that listens to Bugsy Malone, then you need to let me know. But I feel like it's only, again, it's a load of white kids that listen to Bugsy Malone, I feel. but yeah, I just feel like London needs to do better with like sharing the limelight and kind of allowing different sounds to come through. Because it has kind of had a bad impact on other artists, I feel, who probably should get some shine, who deserve to be in a spotlight. And What it then does, I've noticed, it makes those artists kind of conform and join this current wave when it's not really their sound and it's not really their thing.
Mm.
But yeah, what do you think?
I think we're in a good place right now. And I do hope this Afro swing sound that we're experiencing does carry on and maybe even evolve to something bigger and better. Because like I said, it is very one sound at the moment, but I think it has the capacity to be a bit more than it is already.
Yeah, I feel you. Mm. I would say there was the other day I went for a rave for my boy's birthday, and Kenny Allstar was DJing, and he did an hour straight set of pure UK music, and it made me proud because, like, through the set, I never thought, like, oh, he's not playing. I just enjoyed the set, and it was actually a lot of music that was, like, back to back to back. You know when DJs like to kind of shout, oh, pull up, read up, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. None
wheel
of that.
It.
He hit wheel it. He was literally just back to back to back to back tunes, and I was like, rah. Although it was, like, a time span of, like, 5-6 years, I was like, the scene is as healthy as it's ever been. For us to, in a club, to be able to just do an hour straight of non-stop UK music, and it's not like Phil Me and Craig David, them kind of times, it's all kind of current stuff. Mm. I was like, this is pretty sick. But like you said, I feel like the Afro swing can still grow. I feel like, do you know what? It's not even just one sound. I feel like it's two. It's Afro swing and drill. And I feel like it's split with age as well. I feel like those who are like 20 and under, drill is their predominant sound. Like, that's what they listen to.
Yeah. And a lot of the uni guys, kids now are listening to that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the kids who have graduated in the last few years and above, where Afro, because remember when we went to uni, Afrobeats was like, that's when Afrobeats kind of blew up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And obviously Afrobeats is an African thing. So now we've kind of have like a, we've had a spin-off of it, of a UK African thing. We're really like, we're with it, we're digging it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the older gen is more Afro swing, that kind of stuff, and the younger ones is drill.
Yeah.
So I guess the two of them coincide at the same time. But I'd love for us to have like a proper R&B scene.
It's so lacking. There's no UK R&B. Well, okay, I don't want to say no, but it's so lacking. There's barely any I can name off the top of my head, which is not a good sign.
Georgia Smith at the moment.
I think she even transcends R&B.
Yeah.
Like, she's, you know. She's,
by the way, I really liked her album.
Lost and Found was fantastic. Beautiful. Yeah.
But, it's not really an R&B-ish album. I will say, quick side note, on Lost and Found, I might be reaching it, but did you get like, not in terms of exactly how she sounds, but like how the album like flowed and like, I guess the sound, did you get like Winehouse vibes kind of like?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, like obviously it's not going to sound as jazzy as Winehouse, and the voice isn't going to sound like Winehouse, but just like the way each track just kind of,
Amy was a big influence for Georgia.
I definitely think so.
She says it all the time, and I definitely heard that on Lost and Found.
Yeah,
it came through,
and I loved that about it.
Yeah,
like, I did, and I love the fact that you can hear she's influenced, but she's not trying to sound like her. She's kind of just making her own thing, and she also wrote every lyric on the album as well.
Yeah,
which I was
and
super
she intentionally had no features, which I think was an excellent decision.
Yeah, did you see that in the Julie Adenuga interview that she did?
Yeah.
So. That was a throwaway kind of thing about Georgia Smith. But yeah, we don't really have a UK R&B scene. I know we have a few artists, but they don't get the limelight because it's not R&B's time. I don't think it ever has been R&B's time. I think at best we had Craig David back in the day. And then we had a little later, we had Maverick Saber and what's his name?
Angel,
Plan B. But they never really took off. Like, the best we get in terms of R&B in this time is like Western, who still kind of do the Afro swing sound, but they kind of, they have a singer and everything. And I don't even know if you can even call them R&B, but like they're the only people in the current scene somewhat thriving that can actually sing. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like an R&B scene. I'd like a hip hop scene, like a hip hop, not like like a hip hop scene. I'd like grime to still thrive. Afro swing can still thrive. Like, just, I don't like how one comes and one has to go kind of thing. Like in America, you can see that they have trap going on at the same time as hip hop going on at the same time as all these different things. And I feel that's the where we need to be.
Yeah, I feel like grime is the closest we've ever come to an original hip hop sound.
Yeah.
And that's from MC days when people would just jump on the mic and
literally
just
any beat
that's
spinning,
bars,
they just
yeah.
you know, like, and the whole it was all competition. So everyone wanted to get a reload, everyone wanted to get a wheel it. Kinda. Everyone, that's what they did it for. They did it for the sport, you know. Now it's kind of like they're doing it for
the glitz and glams. They're doing it for the fame. They're doing it for... That's why you get people signing like one single deals. Like a lot of people are... That's so mad to me. A one single deal. Like, but yeah, people are just signing for maybe quick money, and I can't blame them, because a lot of these boys are boys from the hood. So they ain't seeing a lot of money all at once. But the energy the UK scene used to have is gone. So I guess with all that being said then about the UK scene and that, and how we want it to go from strength to strength, but at the moment it's kind of the music that we're hearing lacks originality and kind of lacks quality. Are there any UK artists you feel like probably should have the pedestal that some artists are currently having? Or
yeah, there are definitely some people I consider in the underground, not even underground, but they're breaking through and they're simmering, but no one, they haven't had the opportunity to really blow. And I think they're artists like Little Sims, Koji Radical.
I feel you. See, you artists like that, they are real lyricists. Like, they have very strong pens. Like, the UK scene is not very much a lyric-driven scene at the moment, which is weird because Gram is about your lyrics. Like, your lyrics is what get pull-ups and stuff. But yeah, Little Sims, I feel like her last album, Stillness in Wonderland, was a really good album that was slept on. She's embraced more in America than she is over here.
That's so weird.
Which is weird to me, to be honest.
I know.
Like, I feel like someone like that, like, if we were to say, okay, name me, like, if it would go anywhere in the world and we say, oh, name me artists that you'll be proud of to say they come from the UK, she'll definitely be one of them. And I feel like the people that are kind of running the scene now are not necessarily the artists that we'd want to be saying, okay, listen to these guys kind of thing. But Little Sims, I feel like she, I'm pretty sure, was it Giggs who was like, she can out-rap most men in the UK. Like, it was someone, I think it was probably Giggs, I think it was, because they did a show in France together. But yeah, she can outspit like 9 out of 10 men in the UK. Koji Radical, like you said, again, he's interesting because he came from a poetry background, didn't he? A spoken word background. And he kind of says, like, in his own words, he doesn't want the tail to be pinned on him. He says he's found rhythm inside of poetry. It's basically rapping, to be honest. It's no more spoken word. If you put a beat on it and you're flowing, you're rapping. But listen, we're not going to question his creativity. But that's another person too. He's got one of my favorite UK projects, actually, is called 23 Winters, which is an album by him, which is a really good kind of conceptual project, kind of where he kind of talks you through, I guess, his thoughts and his life and stuff. So you guys go check that out. 23 Winters by Koji Radical and Little Sims, not Lil, Stillness in Wonderland. I think she's got a new project coming out as well. She tweeted a few months ago that it was done. I'm waiting. To be honest, I'm waiting.
Drop it.
It's not here. Yeah, please. Yeah, Koji's there as well. Who else am I feeling?
A2's
dope.
He's been simmering in the scene, and I think he's very original. He's really original.
Very, very original. Nobody sounds like him. No one can imitate him without saying you're
blatantly
copying.
And he has a solid fan. I've noticed he has a solid fan base.
Did he do Coco a few years ago? Like, he performed at Coco. I'm pretty sure he sold at Coco.
I'm not too sure, you
know. Was it XOYO? I'm pretty sure he sold out Coco a few years ago. That was before he even dropped an album, Blue. That was when he was still doing mixtapes and SoundCloud stuff.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
He was doing 1,000-seater venues on SoundCloud stuff. You know, and artists like that, they do tend to have like really good core fans because they make music that lasts and make music that's kind of genuine and that is of quality.
Yeah.
And I feel like although they may not have the biggest audience and the biggest kind of ear, I feel like when all is said and done, people that kind of at the top now, maybe in 5-10 years time, they may not be at the top or they may not have that many fans. But I feel like someone with A2 and these people that we mentioned will always have fans. They'll always be able to do a show, like, no matter when. And I guess that's the trade-off between making really good music that isn't necessarily of the norm. You don't have as many fans, but your music lives longer. But also, Shaka.
Shakapella.
Do you know what?
If you know about Shakapella back in the day, where he used to upload those original covers and
absolutely
mixes.
Absolutely mad. His vocals, it's just his vocals,
isn't
it?
He would
do the beat, like he would layer the beat and do the vocals with just
his voice.
Shaka, you lot, if you do anything, please.
Please.
Google Shakapella onto YouTube and watch it. It blows
amazing,
my mind.
Amazing.
But you know what, with him, he's actually got a song called Man Down with Aluna George. I don't know if you heard
it. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, for someone who's so sick and so talented to kind of conform in that way.
I was disappointed.
Damn. Like, and that's exactly what the scene is doing. It's sucking that kind of creative energy out of people and making them do stuff that they think, listen, I want commercial success. I'm just going to have to do this.
Mm-hmm. I saw him perform at a Dream Nation gala, shout out Dream Nation, like a couple of years ago. And he's a great performer as well.
Yeah,
and
I can imagine someone like being.
Yeah. And I think it was 2015, maybe 16. I was like, I cannot wait for him to blow. Mm. So when I saw him, like, he's got like billboards and stuff now. So when I saw all signed. Of that and then I heard the song featuring Aluna George, I was just like, yeah, they've taken him.
Yeah. Mm. He's gone left a bit, to be fair.
But hopefully he has that, you know, creative spark again and.
Hope so. And they allow him to kind of show that.
Yeah. Experience,
because there's another artist, Labyrinth, who, again, has a creative spark. And I feel like as soon as he was kind
He's so talented. He's
so talented.
Like, they appreciate him more in America than they do here, which is unfortunate as
honestly,
well.
Honestly, I feel like when he kind of, I guess he led off with Earthquake and that, which was very label-backed. But I feel like when he started showing that, listen, this is what I really want to be making, the limelight was all of a sudden thrust off of him. Like, you know, you end up seeing, like, videos of him in his like home studio. Did you catch the thing that he did at the royal wedding?
He spun the royal wedding horns and
you
trumpets
guys, again. Check that. I don't know if it's still on his Twitter page, but if you just Google Labyrinth royal wedding song, I think he put it on SoundCloud. Check, we're dropping gems for you guys. I beg you guys, just check it. That was so sick.
But and he did that live. Like
I think before the wedding was over, he dropped it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, yeah, like I was still in the wedding hype and then I was hearing it. I said, yo, this is serious. That's another supremely talented artist. Mm-hmm. Neo. Have you heard of Neo?
Oh yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's like the scissor to the UK.
She's R&B.
Yeah.
She's R&B.
Yes.
I don't know if many people know about her. And her voice is so unique and like it's I can listen to her all day.
She's got cosigns from across the seas in America, where people saying, like Frank Ocean appreciate her. But
you know,
and I don't get me wrong, I really do feel people like there's a fan base for her here, and they do appreciate her. But
you reckon there's a fan base for her here?
Yeah.
Not many people I speak to like even heard of her. To be fair, like really give her the time of day. Again, I don't really speak to the whole.
It
of the
is
UK,
a small so. Fan base. Yeah. Yeah. It is a small fan base.
Yeah. What's the name of her thingy? For All We Know, I think that's the name of her album. You guys, again, go check out Neo, For All We Know. It's a really good album. If you're into R&B, check out Neo, check out Shaka. Who did we mention before?
A2.
If you're into like alternative hip hop, kind of vibey, kind of, you know,
wavy.
You sit in your room with like spotlights and stuff and stuff in the darkness and you just want to vibe, go listen to A2. We mentioned one more person. But yeah, we've got something for every kind of listener, to be fair.
Before I forget, I want to shout out Sanctuary London, who's one of the like few platforms and people that are actually like curating and showcasing the best parts of UK talent and culture. So you guys should go and check them out. They've got a Twitter page, I think they have an Instagram page, and they do host like parties and like listening nights. So yeah, you guys should check them out.
That's again the sort of stuff we need in the scene as well. We can't just let these labels kind of dictate what we listen to, when we listen to, how we consume things. Like, we need like independent kind of scene-led things to kind of, and that's why I really like the label Disturbing London. He's got Young Bane and A2, who we've mentioned on there. They're not a major label, so they kind of do move on their own watch kind of thing, and the kind of artists they push is stuff that we would want to listen to. So I feel like going forward, I think you asked before, like what's the future? I feel like the future, I hope the future holds like more labels like that and more people who can pop up and kind of do these things to showcase the talent we're talking about.
That's a good point. I really hope there are more original and like from the ground up music businesses that start to sprout, and I think that is what's going to happen. Yeah,
I hope so. It's a very much do it yourself kind of culture we live in now. I guess the internet being so powerful and kind of everyone can, whatever you want to do, you can just do, like, and just put it out there. You don't have to push papers or anything like that. So I definitely feel like that's what we need. I guess a few more artists then that you guys could check out. 808 Inc. If you guys like hip hop, please do check out 808 Inc. They're really cool. I don't really know how to describe their sound, because again, they're quite unique. It's hip hop, but like the sound of their music is just different. If you like 808 Inc, you'll probably also like House of Pharaohs, they're a group, hip hop again. If you like jazz, I'm sure we probably have jazz listeners, or just instrumentalists, you guys check out Alpha Mist. He's got a really good album, purely instruments. What else is there? If you like boom bap hip hop, check out Koops. Poetry, if you like someone like Koji Radical, you can check out Michael Payne. He's really cool. Yeah, I don't really want to flood you guys with too much stuff, but those are, I guess, a load of artists that you guys can listen to for different things. You've got jazz, you've got R&B, you've got hip-hop, you've got kind of, I don't know, but you guys check those guys out if you're tired of, you know, German whips in your songs and certain lyrics in your songs and, you know, do check those guys out. I'm sure you guys will enjoy them. And if, you know, you're feeling them and you want some more artists to listen to, feel free to hit us up on Twitter and we just kind of give you our recommendations. I feel like on our Twitters, we sometimes just throw out music that we listen to anyway. Yep. So if you just keep an eye on our Twitters, you will passively get some of these artists that we listen to that we find are dope. We won't give you rubbish artists to listen to, we promise. But yeah, check those guys out, to be fair. And if you're feeling the music, just leave a comment on Twitter, hashtag Wheel It Podcast, and whichever artist you listen to and the songs that you're feeling will interact with you.
And be sure to follow us as well. Follow our main Twitter. It should be in the description of the podcast. And also...
You slightly forgot what it was, isn't it?
I think it's Wheel It Pod.
It's either Wheel It Pod or Wheel It Podcast.
It's at Wheel It Pod, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And yeah, you can follow our personal Twitters as well.
Sure, do you want to throw that out again?
Yeah, at Lami Akindele. It's going to be in the description. I'm not spelling it for you.
Say. And at Cozy Carl with a Z.
Yeah.
I think there's an underscore in there. I'm not sure. But
The links will be in the description.
Yeah, man, you don't check it.
Yeah. So with that being said, I guess that's the end of this episode.
Yeah, I think you need to leave them with your on spin for this week.
That's right. So this week's on spin is from me and I am choosing... Do you know what? I can't deny I've been playing Jaded a lot. That's been on spin for me.
A lot of people have said that song is serious.
It's a serious song.
I had to go back and listen to it.
And you know what? Listening to it, I had a moment of realization, like, wow, yeah, I need to rectify some situations.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
So you're the subject matter of songs like that.
Absolutely. You know,
you're a heartbreaker. Yeah, breaking songs like Drake's heart. Marvin's room was for you, innit?
But I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be a better person than Georgia was.
I hear
not
that.
Not to say that the song is actually about Georgia, but hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, so this is Jaded by Drake.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Leaving me, dipping out on me. Already got what you needed, I guess. Quickly learned yourself through me. Already gave you what you needed, I guess. I guess, yeah. That's why I'm not with nobody. Cause I don't wanna hurt nobody. Did it over text, didn't call me. Still got love for your mommy. I know you wanna be somebody. Even if you gotta leave somebody, yeah. Yes, I'm hurting, yes, I'm jaded. Most of these things I don't wanna say. I wanna be around while you're chasing. You wanna hit me up when you make it. You'll try and come back when you're famous. I always want the truth, but it's dangerous. You got something real, not basic. You wanna get with me, stop. Yes, I'm hurting, yes, I'm jaded. Most of these things I don't wanna say. I wanna be around while you're chasing. You wanna hit me up when you make it. You'll try and come back when you're famous. I always want the truth, but it's dangerous. You got something real, not basic. You wanna get with me, stop. Yeah. Dogs on this side, dogs over on this side. Oh yeah.
Ay. Told me about all your insecurities for what? Dragged me like 2 hours to your family's house for what? Said you need some time, but I should stick around for what? Always felt like sticking around's the same as being stuck. And like guns with the ink in ya, getting under my skin. Pretty little young thing, had a nigga convinced, got me too excited. Yeah, you played me, you played me, you played me. Low down, dirty, shameful, crazy. I need to know how the new nigga you got does the same thing I do for a living, but it's way less wavy. How you even managing to keep straight faces and all the pictures that I've seen lately? Lord knows you still look amazing. That's besides the point I'm making. You're way too opinionated. I have to force it, I have to fake it. You have potential, I could've shaped it. You went and caved in, we could've waited. I wasn't rushing, difference in ages. You're old enough, but you're still a baby. You've shared stories where you did amazing. Things to be loyal, things to be patient. That was before me, I must've changed it. Shifted your focus, lens looking jaded. Most of these things I don't wanna say. I wanna be around while you're chasing. You wanna hit me up when you make it. You try and come back when you're famous. Those on this side, those over on this side. You wanna get with me, stop playing.